December the 1st, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waruf Uddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Muslim, first level, identified as natural law. Second, identified as instinct behavior. Third, identifies as rational conscience. So this small life is natural, inherent, implicit in natural life of the human being, which is of the human order of matter and light. It makes me feel much more comfortable following the discipline in religion that I know has a real base in the universal scheme of reality. I do not know about the rest of the Muslim, but we feel. Now let us go and look again at the word Muslim and see what level are we on. Are we Muslims in the first, the second sense, or the third sense? On the first level, every inanimate thing is a Muslim. Now if you are on the second level now and you find yourself following intelligent patterns of behavior, but you are not doing it out of any respect for a moral code. You have not moral code. You're not the moralist. You are not even concerned with morals as such, but you just find yourself following an intelligent pattern of behavior. And if someone asks you why you behave that way, you are thrown off of your feet. And you tell them why then you perhaps are a Muslim on the second level. You're a Muslim like the bird, the rat, the lion, the bear. You are instinctively a Muslim, but you are not yet a human. There is no human on those first two levels. I don't mean to be funny up here, but some of our conditions are funny. And I think I'm seeing people while I'm talking. I have met people who are on these levels. Though we are born a Muslim, we are not yet a human. We don't just want to be Muslim. The identity of us is people, human beings. We don't want the Muslim of the planet, Muslim of the sun, Muslim of a stone, Muslim of a river, a snake, a bear, a rabbit, or a bird. We want Muslim of a man. So that's the third level. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the Muslim of the third level. Abraham, a Muslim, or the third level. God sent prophets or Muslims on the third level, and their followers are people of the third level. Now, some people have a sense of what is morally right and wrong, and they follow the spirit of truth or righteousness in accord with what they sense to be right. Is that right? They do not have to be brilliant. They do not have to be an Einstein. They do not have to be genius. They do not have to be intellectual. They are a Muslim on the human level. But there's a grade on the human level, consciously, Muslim because of moral motivation, and perhaps law motivation only, but there is coming a time when the man becomes a Muslim because of intellectual motivation and moral motivation, and when he becomes a Muslim because of intellectual and moral motivation, he is qualified to imam, qualified then to lead Muslims, to be Muslims, the teacher. So natural law is a manifestation of the will of the Creator. Animal building tell man you can do accurate things. Do you understand this word now, Muslim? This is a great honorable title. The previous scripture, the Bible says, the peacemakers shall be called the children of the Most High God. What does that tell us? That the highest aim in creation is obedience to the will and the law of the Creator. And that obedience begins with God said be, and it was. Worlds began to take shape in the void. And they came under natural law. Natural law is nothing but a manifestation of the will of the Creator. Then that natural law manifests itself in the living matter that comes out of the dead matter, the biological creature, in the sense of the instinct. He obeys instinctively. And look how rich it is in knowledge and on the strength of instinct. The wop can take mud and make a beautiful article design, artistic design. The bee takes its wax and makes a beautiful, marvelous house with much scientific wisdom in it, perfectly structured, air-conditioned inside. This is facts, and this is science. You go to school to learn how to sew. The spider never went to school, gets up and sews himself. A web, you say, how, hell, how did he get it so accurate, geometrically and accurate? So you think man can tunnel? If you could take some kind of an X-ray machine and look at the earth and see how the ant has tunneled himself through the earth, and how he has underground farms where he is farming under the ground. This is an ant. And this is science. And we can go on talking about the marvelous world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised out of the dead matter under instinct. Black chick and went to sleep. Now Europe is quick, a trick. So this is an invitation to us that you can do accurate things. You can make beautiful artistic work if you, to will respect the will of God, manifest in the law of the matter that he created. Get the science that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Why does this white man get all the life? Why can't you get for every creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just for the white man? Your fathers used to have more than Europe had, and your fathers were tricked, and they went to sleep. And Europe got ahead of everybody. And now Europe has been tricked, and it's going to sleep. Why don't you get up and catch up and outstrip them? Our goal is not to be a white man. Our goal is to be a Muslim man to outstrip all records that are established. Doesn't our Lord invite us to come into a race, into a moral competition to achieve all that is excellent and good? Original man, I want to be the second, the third, and the final man. So the first and the last, some of us, just want to be original saying, oh, I just want to be the original man. I don't want to be the original man no longer. Then it takes me to look at him and see which direction God put him in. And once I see the direction God put him in, I don't want to be the original man. I want to be the second man, the third man, and the final man. So I want to keep improving stage by stage, step by step. I want to get so that they say he doesn't look original. He looks finished. Because the original is coarse and rough. And everything is seen original is coarse and rough. Society comes coarse and rough in its original state. But society grows into excellence that God intended for it. It becomes refined. A grass that was good for us in the first because we were anywhere in the contents. Now here, in the frame of thought, I guess the first was good for us in the first. Women complain, heard in Shura. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayat 1, women who complain. I often say, look at an elephant, how big the body of an elephant is, and look at the size of his head. Now look at a donkey, and look at the size of his head. A big head in comparison to the body, but the elephant has a small head in comparison to the body. So I wish Pastor Jeremiah Wright was hearing what I'm saying right now. The donkey can have 50 doctorate degrees. It doesn't make any difference. He's still a donkey because his head is too big in comparison to his body. Any of you ever heard of the big-headed scientist called Yaqub that is in the Nation of Islam's myth? Look at the human being's physical autonomy. From form, look at how small our head is in comparison to our bodies. So the more in evolved life is the less attention you give your own intelligence. And the more attention you give the need that your intelligence was created to serve. And you have to make sure if you're going to make decisions that is going to affect the future and of mankind on this earth, on this planet Earth, or all of our neighborhood congregation, your decision shouldn't be made by Shura Benahum. You must meet with the best minds and characters. The more decent people must meet even families. Can be included because we know that the whole chapter is named the woman who complained. If she is heard in the Quran, Holy Scripture, you know she is supposed to be heard in our shura. Allah, the Quran, Surah 58, Ayat 7, if there are two, I am the third. So the whole world says, we don't like you. I will continue to do my best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more company than the world, than the whole world. So the whole world, they bore me. The whole world is like a big empty tomb. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not by my side, what do I need with graveyard company? I don't need graveyard company. My company is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when in the company of fulfilled people who trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that kind of love, oh, it seems as though the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just multiplies. Oh, yes, the more company we get, the feel the same way. It seems that the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so heavy there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if there is two of you, I am the third. And if there is three, I am the fourth. If there is more, I am the next. How wonderful it is. The Quran Surah 58, Ayat 7, no secret meeting of three Allah is four. Matthew 18:20. Two or three gathered, I am there. So before him doesn't mean like you are before me. You are before God all the time. He's where you are all the time. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said that if there is two of us, God is the third, and any number above that, God is the next. So it is there. It's 5 million. And so people on this earth, God is with us. One more, because there is God with us. So God is out there, and God is right here, there. So God is with us always, have been. So meeting God doesn't mean you're going to go somewhere, go to Mecca, to the Kaaba, or meet God. He lives there. That's his residence. Let's get away from this childish kindergarten way of seeing things. The way to God is also the way of truth. Now understand that Al-Islam is a religion that revives interest, exact science, and also other sciences, psychology, and all others. Al-Islam awakened that interest in that and made it possible for the world to come out of darkness and grow to where it has grown today, to be a world appreciating as sciences of technology. That world have not been possible had it not been for the Quran and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, coming to bring this spiritual community back to their calling. Their first calling is a calling God gave Adam, and his calling, and his calling was to be imposed, responsible for his own life, for the world around him. Groups sit in darkness seeking and bicker, groups sit and bicker seeking God's guiding spirit. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayah 7, Allah is amongst the group. So you mean when we are interacting like we are now? Not necessarily. When we are disconnected, that happens too when we are disconnected, because when we see ourselves disconnected, God has connected all of us. We are connected to the, though we see ourselves not connected, we are connected as life. But she is talking about like when we are sitting here. So there are spiritual orders or spiritual devotional societies that meet together just for that purpose. They have it as the main function of their spiritual organization or spiritual group to meet together. Even Muslims do this, meet together just for that purpose, so that we will learn how to have patience and how to believe in the will and the spirit of God, and how to set and have patience, reflect on God, reflect on his wonderful names, and reflect on his peace, to come more into his peace so that we become peaceful, that the thing that's normally troubling us are not reaching us at that particular time. So you have separated yourself from all troubles, and you are just dwelling in God's peace. I'm using these terms for what of other terms that you would perhaps understand better, to be in God's peace and to have patience and wait on him, not to ask for cake and ice cream or for a drink of water, ask for nothing. Just be patient and wait on him. Listen, the Quran, Surah 58, Ayah 7, Allah is amongst the group. Question, I wonder if you could speak on something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as divine revelation, but the world has turned us to listen to each other. Could you speak on the ability of people to listen to other people in the spiritual realm? Imam W.D. Muhammad, you mean when we are interacting like we are now? Not necessarily. When we are disconnected, that happens too when we are disconnected, because when we see ourselves disconnected, God has connected all of us. So we are connected, though we see ourselves not connected. So we are connected as light. But she is talking about, like we are sitting here, there are spiritual orders and spiritual devotional society that meet together just for that purpose. They have it as their main function of their spiritual organization or spiritual group to meet together. Even Muslims do this, meet together just for that purpose, so that we will learn how to have patience and how to believe in the will and the spirit of God, and how to set and have patience, reflect on God, reflect on his wonderful name, his purity, and reflect on his peace, to come more into his peace, so that we become peaceful, that the thing that normally troubles us are not reaching us at that particular time. So you have separated yourself from all troubles, and you are just dwelling in God's peace. I'm using these terms for one of other terms that you would perhaps understand better, to be in God's peace and to have patience and wait on him, not to ask for cake and ice cream or for a drink of water, ask for nothing. Just be patient and wait on him. And while you are waiting patiently, you are doing this in conjunction with other members in your immediate environment and circumstances. And if you do that, God brings great relief to your soul and spirit. And sometimes God enriches your mind and understanding. So you should wait on God to manifest in one of you his mercy and his blessings to that effect. So these spiritual orders believe that one person will speak. Sometimes one will speak and another will follow, and a different one will speak, who are witnessing this. They believe that when they speak, it is God. They are hearing and not themselves. I said all that to point to people who have faith. First, we must have serious faith like those people who have practiced that kind of spiritual obedience and silence, where they silence their own interest for the sake of knowing God. So we have to have the faith, and we have to have patience, and we have to have that degree of seriousness to have what we need to listen to each other. The wisest of the people, you can have a room full of PhDs, and they have trouble listening to each other. It is not a lot of knowledge that is needed to have us listen to each other. It is just a certain condition of the spirit and the soul we need to be able to listen to each other. So we put God first and foremost, and we realize that what we have to offer is absolutely nothing when it is seen in the light of what God has to offer us. And we don't think of ourselves so important that we can shut our mouth for a while and listen to each other. So the truth of the real intelligence is that you will listen to others. That is one of the greatest signs and greatest evidence of a person being intelligent. They will listen to others. Anybody who has to talk all the time and is uncomfortable listening to another person, even though the person may be under you in knowledge or formal education, if you have no willing spirit to listen to them, your intellect is flawed badly. Sister, you have to listen. Here, I love to listen to others, and I encourage to all of you to listen more than you talk. Listen a lot, talk a little. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayah 7, wealth not calculate, circulate in hands of a few welfarers. Luke 10:30, Good Samaritan. Verse 6, okay, and the neighbors who are near, okay. And the neighbors who are strangers, he says, and the companions by your side. What best the bill? And the welfarer, what best the bill? And the traveler, or like you, say child of the road. It's a welfare, child of the road. So it's not exactly a child of the road, because child of the road means a person who never had a home like a person who's always been out of doors. But this means, yes, child of the road. See, it is that what best to do. Means that they are homeless. A person that's stranded in the road, and those stranded in the road, yes, sir, some people just roam from place to place, what you call people like that, vagabond. A vagabond on that is an ugly sense, and this is a good sense. But what nets are built, it out of the time, because a long time ago, people used to be of the road, and it was honorable. They would be traveling for work, different places, never setting down in any place, or they would be traveling like the Bedouin, moving their whole community. But this person is traveling place to place, like maybe looking for income, but he might be stranded tonight. He needs some place to stay until he can find a job in this place, you know. No, something like that, not quite that either. And then some would just travel for education. That would be a way he gets his education. He would travel to different places. He would get some information on certain scholars in such place, and he would travel all the way just to go to that scholar. And after he studied there, he moved on to another place. So there was many reasons why there were people of the road, you know. So really the time has changed, and this meaning is no more the same to be applied, you see. So I think if we put persons stranded in the road, I think it would be better, because a person that deserves some help. Okay, now, here is a problem connected with the hereafter. And it changes in meaning. Long time ago, this word for host, pardon me, guest, for guest, host. But the word is guest, right? So guest plural. So this word, now a long time ago, it would be right. It means even in this connection, it would be good, be all right, but now it's not. So you know this word used to mean like the good Samaritan, the man who needs help, the victim in the problems of the good Samaritan. He was deified. He was deified. It's singular. I believe for this word, deified means your guest or guest, that's sad. That guest is on you at that time. So the guest is on you because of some needs or some weaknesses of some kind. So really, in their thinking, in another society, it's good, but it is in our society, I don't think it's so good. Even their society now, they've changed. So death's I walk, guests, stranded. So this is death fire, means a guest who needs your support, needs your protection, pardon me, needs your protection, you see. And you know that the word death means weak or sickly or something. So this death fire is of that same word, but it is not a vice. It is not a weakness because of sickness. It is a weakness because of situation. So your guest is in olden days was somebody who was stranded like the well tanner. He is a victim of circumstances. Then he took him to the inn, and at the inn he became a Delphi, which is the singular of this word. He became a guest. So the guest was because of his weakness. There are some weaknesses, some need, you see. So he needed protection of the inn, right? So we don't want this kind of word. What we want is the other word that you use, you want visitor. And even if you go to another city and you host some people, it still would be better to treat them as visitors than it is Delphi. So what I would suggest is that you just get rid of all the Arabic and don't use the Arabic terminology, but use guests in English. So that's right. Use hosts and hostesses. That's right. Use just the English. Hosts and hostesses, hospitality. And the treatment of the word is good. Okay, so just leave all the Arabic out. So the Arabic word has a different meaning, and it should have been treated to if you're going to use English, you see. So you have to meet the Arabic word, too. Arabic word, Delphi, comes from, as he says, it won't quit. It won't quite fit what you want to do, you see. Because those people are not people who needed your protection or stranded or something. Although when somebody comes into your meeting, they are your responsibility. They get hurt in there, and you are responsible. So they are in a weaker situation when they are your guests. They are in a weaker situation, but I think if we went into and explained, put the English beneath the meaning, we could do it to the Arabic. So I say if we do it to the Arabic, we'll have to trace it back to a dependency on us or something, and we wouldn't want them to think like that. Or you're conscious of them. Some things used in here is okay. In fact, the English, all this English is okay, but to treat the Arabic definition will be a problem, and we want to think, we want to take all of the Arabic out. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayah 2 to 5, and 9 to 14, conduct. Bukhari, volume 4, page 2, page 25, 27, and 28. Wakanda. Long before the modern world took interest in preserving animal life, vegetation, trees, etc., environmental concerns, he told them how to conduct war and don't harm women, children, elderly, and religious houses. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayat 19, forget God, he forgets you. Masjid Nasibaha, Volume 2, P. 54, Knowledge, Laws, Possession, Like Stray Beasts. So Prophet Muhammad says science is the lost possession of the believers. And under Muhammad, science lit the world again, and it was lost. Because we became selfish, satisfied like fat-bellied Arabs who betrayed missions of El-Islam and began to wallow in the comfort of El-Islam, brought and forgot the discipline. God says, if you forget me, I'll forget you. Excuse me. Wall. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayat, be as a solid wall. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 2, heaven raised without pillars, you can see. Some of you doubt faith. You do not want to trust faith. So your faith is weak. And I'm sure a lot of you come from the Christian background, and a lot of you in the radio audience, listening audience, and Christian perhaps, and you might recall the preacher saying, quoting, the gospel of Christ Jesus, peace be upon him. If you have so much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can do wonders. In the Quran and also the Bible, these two books say very much of the same thing when addressing major issues of doubt and faith. My mother had me take care of the garden. I saw her planting mustard seeds so we could have some mustard green. So these seeds are so small and light, a little breeze can blow them away. That is how small and light they are. But if you take one grain of mustard seed and put it in your finger, be careful because you will drop it. You can hardly see it. If you rub it, you will see it is hard. And you look at it, and it looks dead. But when you put it in the place where God intended for it to go and to have life again, in that place where God intended to go to have life again, it becomes a big bush. And just one leaf of that mustard has weight, the grain of the mustard. Seed looks dead, and it is hard, solid faith. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, taught his followers what God revealed in the Quran, be together as a solid wall. We stand together shoulder to shoulder as a solid wall when we pray together in congregational prayers. And we are standing upon faith. We take the stand upon faith. God says, look at the heavenly bodies, and both scriptures point us to the heaven for us to observe the wisdom for a higher order for human life on this planet Earth. God says, observe the bodies that you see in the sky and how they appear to be supported without props or supports under them that you can see. What is this saying to us? That is saying not only your life, but the existence of the material universe is existing upon power that you cannot see. The sun you cannot see, what is holding it up? The moon you do not see, what is holding it up there? So you get a telescope and you look at planets, material bodies of material masses, bigger than ours, a planet like Jupiter, and you cannot see looking at them in a telescope what is holding them up. And science tells you of the billions and trillions of tons, not pounds, in that mass. And there is hanging out there in space seemingly without no support holding them up. That is pointing out to us to tell us who designed his creation. Trust the God who designed the universe. Trust him. You cannot explain everything. He did. Trust him. He owes you not. He knows you. He owes. You know not. He knows you know not. So look at what he has done and come up with your explanation for it. I know all about universal gravity. That is what science tells us. But when the farmer looks up there, he doesn't see any universal gravity. All he sees is big bodies up there and nothing holding them up. So God's lesson is going to stay no matter what science says. God gives us a lesson. Have faith in the Lord who has designed this world and creation. The way it is designed is too big for your mind to grasp. Have faith in the one who designed it and don't doubt Die to your own life. Die to your mind and live again. The problems of human life is like a plant. This is scripture, not one scripture. So living again, the plant produces a soft, produce a soft, moister thing called the fruit. Even if it becomes a crusty thing with a hard crust over it like a walnut, it was soft before it became hard. Later it becomes hard and it invites you and your curiosity to go into it, and you go into it and you find some soft meat, the walnut meat, and it chews nice, the hard nut in the ground, and it gets the situation that God created for it to have a birth. It will have a birth, and a soft will break through the hard and take root in the earth. It will spring up not a walnut, but a walnut tree with bushes of walnuts. Trust God. That is God's work. So we have faith in that little dried up life will have life again. Give it to the plane of God, and it will come to life again and spring up bigger and better and more abundantly than it was before. So Quran Surah 61, Ayah 10, shall I lead you to a bargain? Though the soul can become defective, distorted, warped, ill-formed, if the wrong things get in the soul, can be destroyed by the world. But if we can keep the soul pure, unadulterated, in the human form that God made, for it, this soul will keep signaling to our mind, our intellect, our duties and responsibilities, and keep pressuring us until we fulfill our part of the bargain with God. Commercial bargain that you be so pleased with. Fulfill your obligation to God. The Quran Surah 61, Ayah 10, shall I lead you to a bargain? This verse ties business with hopes for success. It puts business into focus with the hope for success. This says we are missing the real thing when we are going away from Allah to the dollar for success. Tajira equals commerce, business, enterprise, something that invites and promises profit, material gain. Allah says, shall I turn you on to a business interest that will save you? He didn't say that it will make you rich. Many people are rich, but they are lost. Allah then tells us what to believe in Allah and His messenger. Why? We have to believe in Allah and in ourselves. The messenger is the model for ourselves. He is the type, personality that Allah wants in us. Prophet Muhammad is the ideal human model. The Quran Surah 61, Ayah 14, Jesus said, be helpers of Allah. So when Jesus found unbelief on their part, he said, who will be my helpers to the work of Allah? Said the disciples, we are Allah's helpers. We believe in Allah, and we do thou bear witness that we are Muslims. Now notice the word that are used here. Jesus said, and they answered, saying, Ansurullah. So the word is that's the key. Helper. But helper to what? What is? It is of a word, victory. Helper to victory. Not just helper. Helper can be helper in anything. Could be. Helper to build a masjid. But the helper for victory's sake, they have an object down the road. They have a goal to reach. He was asking for helpers that would help him in reaching the goal, gaining the victory. So what is the victory? True freedom, justice, and equality. Who will be my helpers to free the minds of oppressed men so that that promised land of the true freedom, justice, and equality, dignity, will come, will become a reality for us? Who will be my helpers? Who will be Jesus' helpers, not worshipers? What it is saying, Jesus, he didn't say who will become my, meaning my slave or my worshipers or my servant. He said, who will become my helpers? He wanted people to help him reach the victory. Those people that helped him reach the victory are not his servants. That's why they answered. We are Ansurullah. We are the servants of God, and we bear witness that we are the true people, that we are the Muslims. Oh, how wonderful it is. Our Lord, we believe in what thou has revealed, and we follow the apostle. Then write us down amongst those who bear witness. Prayers was not to die on the wrong side of, or to die and not be recorded that they were on the right side and not on the wrong side. That's the heart of the true believer. He wants to be on the right side, and he wants the records to record him as he was, that he was not with the wrong people. He was on the right side. Quran, Prophet purified teachers. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayah 2, Muhammad, purified teachers. So the process of revelation requires the Holy Spirit be in it, involved, and also the angels be involved. And then man can be reached through revelation, communication. And these are the pure beings that come from high up, where there is no impurity. Now it is a sign that the impurity are down here. And the higher you go, the more you get into pure air. So revelation cleans man. Then the intellect improves. Power is potential, but cleanliness is needed first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working on us. He has selected us for himself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us purified. He wants us to love righteousness, to love cleanliness, to love decency, so that he may complete his favor on us, his blessings on us, the blessings that he wants to complete, need us first to become clean and decent in our hearts, in our souls, and in our minds. We got the rational potential. So we got the intellectual potential. But that is not the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless unless it has decency, cleanliness, desires for righteousness, desires for cleanliness, desires for decency. So he gives us revelation that before it reaches our intellect already touches our heart, and it wants us to be more decent before our Lord. It wants us to be cleaner, more truthful before our Lord. It begins to work on us to put us in a clear, a cleaner, decent state, in a more sincere state before even the intellect comes in contact with his great rational message for the future progress of the people on this earth. Promised land is for the intellect. So you know when the body wakes up in the morning, the eyes open up, please don't try to get out of the bed before the eyes open up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with leaders who love righteousness, decency, truthfulness, who love sincerity, leaders male and female. And these are going to be the ones that take us and to the promised land for our intellect, so that we will have thinkers, scholars, and scientists born amongst us who will get the attention of the literate world, just like those got the attention of the literate world in the time of our prophet, present, and peace be upon him, from hearing the Quran and explained and taught by him. Someone might say, oh, you're referring to yourself. No, I said, we would have leaders, not just myself. I'm just one. We will have leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless and is blessing because of their sincerity, their desire for righteousness and decency, uprightness, and cleanliness, etc. The Quran says he will purify them and teach them the book and the wisdom or the rule of logic for the book, which will make them wise and give birth to scientists. Draw is on the intellect. Dawn is on the intellect. Now going back to the interpretation of the Night of Power as a Muslim era or the Muslim age reading on the Genesis, the beginning of the creation, and understanding that the agent of God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels were really pure beings, and they must descend first, and then revelation comes, and then the dawn. The day, the dawning, a day with the Lord is as a thousand with you, is the scripture, isn't it? Before, the old scripture says a day with the Lord is a thousand with you. So here comes the day, the dawning of the intellect. The dawning of the intellect, when this dawning starts happening in the intellect, then the same thing starts happening in the garden. The same thing happened for the world that happened for the garden. It says God created the man, put him in the garden. Then he charged him to do what? Dress the garden. Dress the garden. So garden believers will be in the garden of their souls. So these ones who live righteousness, pardon me, so these ones who love righteousness and purity and will be awakened, their intellect will be awakened, and they will see the marvelous standing in the garden of their own soul, and they will get the message from God, dress the garden, and the Lord that revealed the word of the Quran, to awaken our intellect, to turn us on to the scientific inquiries, as well as to obedience as a servant. That same God will have us pretty soon dressing the garden. Say the soul brother. They will have their souls dressed up, clothes manufactured by them, with homes developed but by them, with factories established by them, with streets paved by them. Now, this is dressing the garden. My soul is here, but it needs dress, so you should see me in my dress. That's the way I want you to see a soul brother. I want you to see a soul brother in a skyscraper that he put up. I want you to see a soul brother in a cement factory that he's operating, the automobile factory that's responsible for, etc. Wouldn't that be dressing the soul, brother? He would be dressing up. Then wouldn't he? Lord have mercy. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 2, Prophet sent to purify and educate. And it is even worse when others have to come in and provide those things for us. So let us not forget that those things that we think of perhaps only in an abstract are very much necessary as energizers as germs of life to manifest material interest. And we include in the picture taqwa, tahira, purity. Those represent the precious beginning of the real life for the mind of man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used us, has sent us Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to lead us out of the darkness into the light, and to purify us, and to break every bond of slavery. He wasn't free, not too free to enjoy the world like hungry animals, but free to enjoy the world like intelligent men. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us perform in the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us. Human life, compassionate life, life that has consideration for other life, feels need for others, life that is intelligent, not foolish, a life appreciating beauty and appreciating order and orderliness. So this is what makes second man the high man in creation. He is sensitive to the more important things, and he understands that although the material world is the first wound of life, he understands that he understands that digesting, understanding that material world gives him a high existence in a higher world of abstract, where abstract becomes a higher language of the material world than the ABC blocks of the material language that we learn in elementary levels of our trip in the place of enlightenment. In Arabic, Basharun is the good news. Bashira is the good news giver. We don't call human skin by this name, but the peeling of a fly has this name, the skin of the outer thing. So that is to tell us that this new God creates him in his own sensitive concerns, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forms his life anew out of those sensitive concerns. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 5, donkey carrying books. Knowledge should also structure you. So there are many African Americans with doctorate degrees that have nothing but time on their time and leisure. Some of these people have no more than the bums in the street has, and a whole lot of times and nothing to do. Anyone who has earned a doctorate, they are supposed to have the intelligence to make a job for themselves. They are supposed to have enough sense to establish themselves. So what is the problem? The problem is that the African American is not really structured by the knowledge he has acquired. When you acquire knowledge, that knowledge should be also structuring you. Some people just have the knowledge, but they have not structured their own life after that knowledge. Their life is that the life of a poor man. They are like the Quran says of them, a donkey carrying huge loads of books. So you can have 50 PhDs, but if you just memorize the knowledge in order to pass the required examination, then you have not grown with that knowledge. But if you have grown with your learning so that the influences, the shaping of your life, and you take on principles dictated by that knowledge you receive, then you will grow and be in the likeness of your own knowledge. If you have the dignity of your field, you will not accept to be idle with the poor. Why can't the African American African-American people establish themselves? Why can't the African-Caribbean people establish themselves? We are all the same people from the same African ancestry, and we all depend on the white man for hope. We have no vision of our own. We're just following the white man's light. Therefore, we stay in the dark. Objects of the light is to serve God. When we bring the African-American into proper ordering of his emotionality and into the proper devotional urge rather than the pleasure urge, this world shall its citizen pleasure urge. They say that the pleasure is the first motivation. That's the objective of man. Life is to be happy. Yes, happiness is a primary need in life. It certainly is basic, but the wise don't call it happiness. They call it well-being. They say that the natural object, the natural goal of life is well-being. Happiness is too vague of a term to describe this natural goal. Let us take a look at the word well-being. Well-being is not only an essential requirement in our life, it is an essential requirement in the life of anything. A dog, cat, or any other creature will struggle for well-being. But well-being for the human being is a big term because the limit for our growth is much bigger than the limit for the growth of an ordinary animal or creature. We may be happy. We may start out seeking to acquire something that our life needs. We may acquire what we were seeking and still not find happiness because what we needed or wanted was just one part of what our life really needs. While we were seeking it was the whole, we might say. If I can just get that, I know I will be happy. Finding happiness. Some people think that if they get enough wealth where they don't have to be insecure or feel any material threats, they will be happy. Most people who have a lot of money are not really happy. There are some people who think that if they get enough knowledge, it would make them happy. You will find that some of the saddest people are those with PhDs. None of those things just mentioned are going or guaranteeing happiness for happiness. The only guarantee for happiness is that you please God. God says, of those who please him, that we will make their lives pleasing to them. This is well-being. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Ben. We thank New Africa, Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday. Inshallah, it only means that it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.